We'll take your Bibles and let's open to the book of John, John chapter 11. We're going to read verses 41 and 42 as we get started with our sermon this morning. John 11, 41 and 42. We're studying a series of lessons on prayer, and we're talking about practical prayer and trying to look at some things of a practical nature, and so far they've kind of been directed toward motivational things, motivating us to pray and why we should pray. And we're going to get into some of the more practical aspects of prayer itself in future lessons. But this morning we want to talk about a lesson entitled Prayer is Precious. And we've talked about how prayer is essential and how we have to make it a priority, that it's primary in our lives. It must be something that we dedicate ourselves to doing. And we practice the discipline required to set aside time for prayer and things of that nature. And I thought it'd be good for us in doing that to think about and to remind ourselves of, why that's so important, because of the precious nature of prayer. And there's really no greater way to do that than to look at prayer in the life of Jesus. Our Lord viewed prayer as something precious. And if he did, then certainly we should as well. In John 11 and verse 41, the story, of course, is that Lazarus had died and Jesus has come to the home of Mary and Martha and he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. But he says this, verse 41 says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And there are a lot of important things in that passage, in that statement that Jesus makes. For example, the Jewish leadership had been accusing him of doing miracles in the name of Beelzebub, that he was working for Satan. And of course, Jesus pointed out the silliness of that kind of thinking and that a kingdom divided against itself would fall. But then what he does here is to pray to God, the Father in heaven. God responds with a voice. God answers his prayer. And Jesus, in answer to the prayer that he prayed to God, has the power to raise someone from the dead. Now, that didn't come from Satan. That came from God. And he's demonstrated it by the prayer. But in the prayer, he says to the Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I think that's powerful, because this is the Son of God who is saying this. Of course, we would think God hears him. This is his only begotten Son. But Jesus was living as a man, as one of us, as a human being. And even though he is the Son of God, he's also the Son of man. And he appreciated in his humanity and living in a fleshly human body like we do, the fact that he could still talk to his Father in heaven and know that his Father would hear him. And Jesus said that, I know that you hear me always, and I'm saying this partially for the benefit of the people here, but there's still the attitude that he demonstrated of the preciousness of prayer, that living as a human being, Jesus found it essential and necessary in his life to pray, to talk to his Father in heaven. And he understood the important nature of that. And again, just what a precious gift from God that it is. And we have to learn from that to view prayer the same way, that it's not just an exercise. It's not just something that we do because the Bible says we should, but it is a precious gift that God has granted us to be able to address the Father in heaven, the creator of all things, the one who formed us, the one who knows us better than anyone else, the one who sustains us, and to know that he's willing to hear and to answer our prayers. And so we want to think about prayer in two aspects. Number one, in the life of Jesus, and then number two, in the teaching of Jesus, to notice just how he demonstrated how truly precious prayer is and was to him. So let's talk about the prayers of Jesus that we read about in Scripture. We start in Luke chapter 3 and verse number 21 at his baptism. And the Bible says, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying The heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Luke is the only gospel writer who includes that detail, that at his baptism, Jesus being baptized and praying, that there was prayer involved. Not just that he went to John and was baptized, as he did, of course, but that he prayed. Before making this momentous decision in his life, Jesus prayed about it. As he was preparing to enter into his, you know, the public phase of his preaching and teaching, he started with prayer. Obedience to God, but prayer. And it makes us, you know, wonder and wish that we knew what exactly he said in that prayer. But we, you know, have the idea that he knows what's about to happen and what he's getting into and how difficult things are going to be. And he's praying to the Father at the outset. And so Jesus, though he is the Son of God, and though he's here doing the Father's will, and the Father even speaks from heaven and says, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, meaning that I approve of who he is and what he's doing and what he's going to do, Jesus still needed to pray. He needed to talk to his Father in heaven. And again, if prayer was that important and that precious to him, it ought to be to us as well. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, we notice this verse in our last lesson a couple of times, but it says about Jesus that in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And so Jesus not only prayed at his baptism, but he sought out occasions to pray. And here, Jesus had busy days. Once his day started, you know, he was bombarded with crowds, multitudes, people who were sick, people who wanted healing, people who needed to be taught, all the things that he had to do in his daily life of preaching and teaching and everything that he did. So if he wanted time alone to pray, he had to get up before the sun came up, and he had to go off somewhere by himself to be able to do that. But that's exactly what he did. And his doing that is showing us how precious prayer was to him. He could have just gotten up and started his day and said, I've done so many good things today and helped so many people and taught the gospel to so many people. I didn't have time to pray, but look at all the good that I did. But Jesus started his day with prayer. He took time to pray before and in spite of all the other things that he was going to do. And again, that meant, you know, discipline on his part, that he had to get up earlier and he had to lose a little sleep, but he did it to set aside this time and this occasion where he could be separated from others to pray. And it's important that he went to a solitary place. We think about prayer sometimes in, you know, in the congregation when we assemble to worship. And that is a part of our worship, and it's an important part, and we all participate in that prayer, and that's good. And we think about prayer with our family when we sit down to a meal or when we have family devotionals, and that's good too. It's something we ought to do. But we also need time alone with God because prayer is precious. And it's good to talk to God in the company of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's good to talk to God in the company of our family. But it's also necessary to spend time alone with God. Because prayer is also very personal. And we're going to see that also as we go into other lessons in this study. But Jesus sought out these opportunities. And when they weren't available, he made them available by sacrificing his time to pray. And again, don't lose sight of that Jesus sacrificed his time, his limited time on earth that he had to do the Father's will. He took time out of all of that to pray. And he's the Son of God. He's God in the flesh. But prayer was that important. And it's meant to teach us to have that same view of prayer. We go to Luke chapter 5 now, verses 15 and 16. The Bible tells us this. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. So Jesus prayed, as we noted there, early in the morning. And then we see in this passage that, again, the crowd is around, and there's all of this work to be done and all of that. But Jesus took time to separate himself, and he went into the wilderness, a deserted place, again, to pray. So he prayed early in the morning before the sun came up. Here we're in the middle of the day, and Jesus set aside time and removed himself to be able to pray. So in our last lesson, we talked about Daniel praying morning, noon, and night. And we talked about the other examples from the Old Testament and into the New, how we read about Peter praying in the morning, at noon, at night. And they set times for prayer. Jesus seems to have kept those as well, at least on occasions when he would, you know, say, what we're doing here is great, but I need time to pray. And he took that time because it was a matter of importance. It was precious to him. And we, again, have to learn to see prayer in the same way. In Matthew 14, 22 and 23, we find Jesus praying at the close of the day. It says, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. So we have Jesus praying alone before the sun rises, in the middle of the day, and now at the close of day. So again, we have morning, noon, and night. But the point is that Jesus made these opportunities to pray. And also notice that on these occasions, as important as the multitude is, and right, Jesus, he came to seek and to save the lost. And as important as it is to have those disciples present and to be able to teach them and to encourage them and all of those things that he was doing, it was also important to tell them, I have to go away for a little bit to pray. Jesus, doing all that he did for others, still took time for himself to pray. And again, if that were true of him, it ought to be true for us as well. And it's something that we need to work into our lives and make sure we're setting aside time to pray on a daily basis. Maybe even three times a day, like they were, or more, as the opportunities arise. We go to Luke chapter 6 now, verses 12 and 13. It says that it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. And then we're given the list of the apostles. So here we have Jesus praying before the sun rises, in the middle of the day, at evening, and on this occasion he prayed all night long. And we understand why. There is a very monumental decision to be made. Jesus is choosing those who will be his 12 apostles. And remember that these are the men that when he dies, the entire preaching of the gospel to the whole world is left in the hands of these 12 men. Right? This is a huge decision. And of course, Jesus is the Son of God. He knows the hearts of men and on all of that. But still, what a monumental decision he had to make. And so before he made that decision, he spent the whole night in prayer. And again, he's emphasizing to us and showing us how precious prayer is, that we all are going to face those occasions when we have big decisions to make. When it comes to our soul salvation, when it comes to getting married, when it comes to having children, when it comes to sickness in our lives, taking a new job, moving somewhere else, whatever it is, these decisions that will affect our lives and maybe even the rest of our lives, we ought to at least stop and talk to God about it. Jesus spent the whole night in prayer, and there are times when we need to spend the night in prayer, not, again, just as an exercise, but because of how precious prayer is. That communion with the Lord can strengthen us for the decisions that we have to make. And we're going to talk about how God, answers some of those prayers, in a future lesson, and how looking into his word, we hear him, and that answers our prayers in some ways. But this is, an important part of Jesus' life, that big decisions required time to pray to God. And so, again, he separated himself and he prayed all night long. In chapter 9 of Luke, in verse number 18, the Bible says, it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? And so Jesus sought out occasions to be alone in prayer. And here in verse 18, it says that he was alone praying, but then it adds his disciples were with him. So he was alone with his disciples. And that's, again, important because there were times when Jesus was with the multitude, and there were times when he had to be alone to pray, but there were also occasions when he needed to be alone with his disciples to pray. And this is indicating the 12. So these men have a tremendous responsibility and an important role in God's plan for the preaching of the gospel and so forth. And so Jesus devoted time to be with them. And so as we talked about earlier, there are people in our lives that we need to spend time in prayer with those people. Our families, our spouse especially, also with our children. We need to set aside time to pray alone with those who are closest to us. We do that when we come together to worship. We pray together, and it's part of our worship, and we do it because God commands us to, but also because it's one of those ties that bind us together. And that's also true in the home. It strengthens the relationship between husband and wife, between parents and children, when we pray together. And Jesus is here with his disciples praying. And this is always one of those things that, you know, you wish you could have a time machine and could go back and could be a fly on the wall, you know, and listen to the prayer of Jesus and what it must have been like to hear him praying with his disciples and for his disciples. And we get a glimpse of that in John chapter 17, that beautiful and powerful prayer of our Savior. But it must have been amazing to sit in his presence and, you know, not only to hear him teaching, but to hear him pray. But they were privileged to do that. In that same chapter at verse 28, the Bible says, "It came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering." And so at his transfiguration, it began again with prayer. And so Jesus prayed alone. He prayed with his disciples, the 12. And here we find him praying with Peter and James and John. So these three, who are sometimes singled out, are with Jesus again on this occasion, and they pray. They went up into a mountain to pray. Now ask a question. If you had to go up into a mountain to pray, how much prayer would we do if that was, you know, a requirement? Jesus went up into this mountain. Obviously, he's going to be transfigured there, and no doubt he knew what was going to happen. But he went to the mountain to pray. You think about living under the Old Testament system where the temple was the house of prayer, right? I mean, you could pray at home and all of that, but on those occasions when you had to travel all the way to Jerusalem to be at the service at the temple to pray, what a great effort that must have, you know, been to put forth. But that's how important prayer is. And so if we have to go on a mountain to pray, if we have to go into the wilderness to pray, if we have to go into our closet to pray, like Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, whatever we must do, that's how precious prayer is and ought to be to us, that we'll make whatever sacrifice is necessary. Chapter 10 of Luke now, verse 17 beginning, the Bible tells us this: "The 70 returned again with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name.' And he said unto them, 'I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.'" And then verse 21 says, "In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, 'I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him.'" And so here we have a time of great success, great victory. The 70 disciples had gone out, and they found out that they had power, that Jesus had given them miraculous power. And Jesus says, that's great, but don't rejoice in the power. Rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. Keep things in perspective. It's not about the fact that you can do these miracles. It's about the salvation of your soul, and you're trying to save other souls. But in that moment of great success, Jesus stopped his disciples from their celebration, and he said, let's pray. And they prayed to the Father, and it was a prayer of thanksgiving. Jesus recognized that the power they had over those, you know, evil forces came from God. And obviously he knew that because he is God. But he's bringing it to their remembrance that you didn't do this in your own power. It's not of you, but it comes from God. And how many times is it when we have a success or we have a victory that we get focused on, look at what I did and how I accomplished this and I made this happen, and we leave God out? Jesus stopped in the middle of success and said, let's give thanks to the one who truly made this possible. And so prayer, even on good days and even in good times and with success and victory, prayer is still precious and essential, that we can stop and thank God for the good things that he has done for us. In John chapter 11, verses 41 and 42 that we started with, we read about Jesus praying in times of sorrow. So in times of success, he prayed with gratitude. And here in sorrow, the sorrow of the death of Lazarus, Jesus again stopped to pray. And we read it earlier, but I'll just remind us that he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And so at the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus knew what he was going to do, you know, and say, Lazarus, come forth, and he was going to be raised from the dead. And before he did it, he prayed to the Father, and he thanked God for hearing his prayer. Again, showing that all the glory goes to God. And so even in times of sorrow and sadness, we have to remember God and his glory and his honor. And then in times of suffering, Jesus prayed. John 12, 27 and 28 says, he said, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. So here's Jesus contemplating what's going to happen when he goes to Jerusalem and the trouble and the sorrow and the agony that he was about to endure. And he says, you know, what do you pray in a situation like this? Should I pray for the Father to save me from this hour? He says, this is the whole reason I came into the world. I know this is God's will, and this is God's plan, and this is God's purpose. So I'm not going to pray, you know, for God not to do his will. Instead, I'm going to pray for God to glorify his name. That if I can glorify the Father through my suffering and through my sorrow and through my anguish, then that's what my prayer is. And what a challenge that is to us. In our most difficult times of sorrow and sadness and sickness and suffering and separation and all of those things, to wish for God's glory to be seen in us as we go through those things. Sometimes we're not going to be delivered from those difficult times in life. And it's part of living in this world, and there are things we just have to go through. And our prayer may be, and remember that when Jesus was in the garden, he prayed for the Father to deliver that cup from him. But he amended that prayer by saying, not my will, but thine be done. In his humanity, he did not want to go to the cross, but he prayed for God's will to be done, that God would be glorified. And that's exactly what he's talking about here. And so we pray for things from a human perspective, but at the same time, we have to remember that the ultimate purpose of my life is to glorify the Father. But still, we need to pray. And again, what a precious thing prayer was. It's interesting to think about how much those prayers helped Jesus get through what he had to endure at the cross. I preached a lesson before about preparation through prayer and how prayer can prepare us for big decisions like Jesus made, for times of temptation, but also for the trials of life. And I believe that Jesus being able to endure all that he did, part of it was dependent upon his prayer life, that he had prepared himself for it by his communion with God throughout his life, and especially there in the garden. So even in times of suffering, Jesus prayed. So times of success, times of sorrow, times of suffering. And there are other examples. In Luke 22, 31 and 32, we learn that Jesus prayed for his disciples. So he prayed with them earlier, and now we find him praying for them. And on this occasion, it has to do, of course, with Peter and with Peter's trial that he was about to go through. But the Lord says in verse 31, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And so here we find Jesus praying for Peter. And again, it's one of those things that you wonder in the moment, you know, how seriously Peter took that. What a privilege to hear the Son of God praying for you personally, individually. How amazing that must have been, and it seems like it just went right over Peter's head, because he says, "You don't need to pray for me. I'm ready to go to prison and even go to death for you," right? He didn't understand what the Lord was telling him. But again, to be able to hear Jesus pray, we understand that he still intercedes on our behalf before the throne of God, and in that sense, he's praying for us today. But what a privilege it must have been. But he prayed for his disciples. We have the prayer recorded in John 17, and we won't read that entire chapter, but I encourage you to do it, where Jesus, just before he was betrayed, you know, offered up that beautiful prayer to the Father, in which he starts by talking about his obedience to the Father in verses 1 through 8, and then again he prayed for his apostles in verses 9 through 19, and then at the end of that prayer he prayed for us, for all believers, verses 20 through 26. And so the Lord, again, showing us how precious prayer is. And then there's the prayer in Gethsemane in Luke 22, in Luke 22, 41 and 42. He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And then there were the prayers from the cross in Luke 23 and verse 34, where Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then finally in verse 46, where he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." So from the very beginning of his service to God, his public ministry at his baptism, all the way to the end of it at the cross, Jesus was praying continually and constantly, in the morning, in the middle of the day, at nighttime, alone with his disciples, with the apostles, for the apostles, in good times, in bad times, when there was success, when there was sorrow, when there was suffering. Every aspect of his life was covered in prayer. And again, the whole point is to show this to us, to say, if Jesus needed to pray that much, he's the Son of God who never committed a sin, never did anything wrong. If he needed prayer that much, how much more do you and I? If it was that precious to him, how precious should prayer be to me? How important should it be in my life? In every aspect of my life, in every decision, and you know, whatever I go through, that prayer is key and essential to who I am as a Christian, but also just as a human being, my dependence upon God that is expressed in prayer. So real quick, I want us to close by thinking about the teaching of Jesus about prayer. We won't read all the verses here, they're on your outline, but I want to mention these to try to tie this together, that Jesus showed by his example how precious prayer is, and then when he taught his disciples about prayer, it only added emphasis to the point. So there are three things real quick. Number one, Jesus in Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11, he taught his disciples to ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. And those things have to do primarily with prayer. There may be some other things involved, but primarily with praying, ask, seek, and knock. And each one of those words in the original is in the intensive, which means that it's not ask one time and if you don't get your prayer answered, you just give up and walk away. But it means to keep on asking and to keep on seeking and to keep on knocking. So the Lord is emphasizing that prayer is, there's a sense of work in it, that we have to be disciplined when it comes to it and devoted to it. And again, we see that in his life, how Jesus prayed continually and consistently through every aspect of life. So asking is kind of simple. You know, you just ask God for what you want. But sometimes you have to seek and you have to go out looking for it. And this brings us into, you know, our part in prayer and seeing the answers of our prayers. And then there's knocking. And, you know, knocking is you're looking for something and you can't find it, but you find out that your neighbor has it. So you have to go and knock on their door and borrow it from them. It's easy just to ask for it. It's a little more difficult to seek it out, but it's hard to borrow it from your neighbor, to admit that you need help and you need what they have. But that's how it is when it comes to God. Sometimes we're okay with asking, but if God wants me to seek and to knock and to admit that I'm dependent upon him and to humble myself before him and to do what he says, well, then I'm not going to pray. And so we have to be on guard against that kind of attitude. And remember that God is a father and he answers prayers as a father would his children. He's going to do what is best for us. Then there's a passage in Luke 18, verses 1 through 8, and we noted it in a previous lesson. But Jesus tells his disciples a parable that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So first, when it comes to prayer, he says, ask, seek, and knock. Keep on asking, seeking, and knocking. And then when it comes to prayer, he says, don't give up. Don't grow weary. Don't get tired. Don't faint. But keep on praying. Keep on talking to God about these things. Listen to this verse from Psalm 55, two verses, verses 16 and 17. It says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Again, that's praying without fainting. That I'm going to pray, and I'm going to keep on praying, and I'm going to pray again at night, and then God will hear my voice. So prayer is required of us to be truly invested in it. We noted Psalm 86 in verse 3 where the psalmist says, I cry unto thee daily, and how it literally means all the day. Not just one little old prayer, but he continually prayed because these things were important, but also because prayer is precious. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. We always ought to be in an attitude of prayer. And then one last verse is Romans 12 and verse 12 where Paul says, continue instant in prayer. And that means to give constant attention to prayer, to keep on praying and to stay in an attitude of prayer and to be continually devoted to prayer and diligent in our prayers because, again, of the precious nature of it. In Acts 2 and verse 42, we read about the early church that they continued steadfastly in prayers. It's also the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread. We understand those things. But they also continued steadfastly in prayers. Not, again, just every once in a while, but they were consistent in their prayers and in their prayer life. And those three passages show us, again, just how precious prayer is. It's so important, and it's such a beautiful and wonderful and powerful gift from God that it ought to become of vital importance in our lives. We ought to recognize the value of it and recognize the power of it and devote ourselves to being a people of prayer, just like Jesus was, just like the church was, just like his disciples were. We need to pray and pray continually and pray consistently. So what's my excuse for not praying? Sometimes we say, I just don't have the time. Well, like Jesus, we have to make the time. Sometimes we get discouraged and we think God's not listening. Well, that's when we have to pray without fainting and keep on asking and seeking and knocking and know that God is hearing and he will answer. Doubt and lack of faith can cause us to stop praying. Sometimes we become apathetic. We get caught up in the world and all the evil that's around us, and we just wonder what's the point of prayer. That's when, again, we have to continue instant in prayer. Sometimes we're just careless about it. We get so busy in life that we just forget to pray. And that should never be the case, because prayer has to be precious to us. Sometimes our pride gets in the way and we think we don't need to pray. We can handle this on our own. And by doing so, we forget who we are and who our God is, that we are totally dependent upon Him for everything, and we need to acknowledge it. Just like Jesus did in success and in suffering and in whatever it was, He prayed. And so let's not let these things become excuses and hinder us from prayer, but recognize just how precious it is, and let us again pray without ceasing. So as we close, we'll think about, what can I do? How can I make more opportunities in my life to pray? What sacrifice do I need to make to set aside time? Does it need to be early in the morning or late in the evening? Or when do I need to make these opportunities to pray? And will I do that? Is prayer that precious to me? We want to, you know, grow stronger and make these changes. We have to start doing these things that the Lord has shown us by His own example, and we'll receive the abundant blessings that come from this wonderful, precious gift of prayer. So I hope that we are doing that, that we're a people of prayer, and that we're working on praying even more and more in harmony with God's will. But it may be the case that there's someone here today who's not a praying person. Maybe you can't be a praying person because you're not right with God. Your sins have separated you from Him, and you know that you need to make those things right so you can once again call on Him as your Father and know that He hears and that He will answer your prayers. God wants that for you. He sent His Son to die on the cross so that you could have that relationship with Him. And so if you'll come to Him in obedience to His will, that blessing will be yours. To become a Christian, you need to hear the gospel, believe it, believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized for the remission of sins. We can help you do that. If you've done those things but haven't been faithful, you need to come back home. Sin has to be repented of and acknowledged and then prayed about. Pray to God for forgiveness. We'll pray with you and for you. God will restore and again bring us back to salvation. If we can help you with that so that you can be a person of prayer, we encourage you to respond to our Lord's invitation by coming forward as we stand and as we sing.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you have Him bear your burden, carry giving all? Would you have Him save you so that you need never fall? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see twice. Have His way with thee. Would you in His kingdom find a place of constant rest? Would you prove Him true, His providential test? Would you in His service labor always at your best? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to.
Please.